And we appreciate it. I'm proud of this ministry. I'm glad to be your pastor. I hope you're glad that I am after all of these years. We're going to talk about, again, we're going back to the scripture we were reading Sunday morning, Sunday night, because the Lord isn't through, and we don't have everyone here on Sunday night that's here on Sunday morning, so just a little bit of review as we move forward in this area of the lifter of my head. Jesus, the lifter of my head. The Lord, the lifter of my head. Literally reassuming a posture of victory. Everybody needs to learn how to reassume a posture of victory, because no one, and I can say that with all these years' experience in ministry, there is no one, whether it be Jimmy Swagger, whether it be Billy Graham, whether it be any of the names that have come up through time to be notable ministers, whether it be John Hagee, whether it be anyone else, there is no one that can live in such a perfect victory that we don't get discouraged at some point, feel despair at some point, and need to reassume the posture of victory. Everybody lives in victory, not because they never lose it, but because they know how to regain it when it happens. Yeah, can you say amen? I really don't want to hear a minister that is what I call green, in the sense that they've never went through any deep valleys in their life. Because I don't know, and they don't know how they're going to react until they go through it. They know how they should react. We all know the ideal and the standard that's set in Scripture. We should never be discouraged. We should never get up any morning discouraged. But believe me, because we live in a fallen world, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. It's one of the promises he made to us that you will never, ever find in the promise box that you can buy at the Christian bookstore. You're not going to pull out, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory," because it's a promise to claim. And you're not going to pull out, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And right behind those two, pull out, "In this world you shall have tribulation." But it's just as much a promise as the rest of them are. It's just a promise that we would rather not face and deal with. Sometimes we want to think that we can live in the world that is presented to us where we don't have tribulation. That is not the real world. Amen. And trying to escape reality is not the way to deal with the real world. That's why people are shooting up, drinking up, toking up. They're trying to escape the reality of a world that they can't cope with, and circumstances in their life that they can't handle. Michael Jackson, I feel such pathos for him. I feel compassion for the fact that with all that he had achieved, you know, we were singing that song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold than to be a king of a vast domain." Michael Jackson was labeled the king of pop, and indeed he was, because the record sales and the popularity transcended anything since Elvis. And yet, whether the king of rock and roll, Elvis, or the king of pop, neither one of them had a satisfying life. It's one thing to have a sleep aid to find peace enough to lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep. It's another thing to have to be put under, just like you would be for some kind of surgical procedure. Michael Jackson had to be made unconscious. He couldn't sleep without what they used when they put me under to pull out teeth, when they put someone under to do some kind of surgery. To go under, be put unconscious, because every conscious moment, there was no peace in it. And yet people envied and want to emulate a lot of folks that clearly lived a life that the man that can lay down. You know what the Bible said about us as God's children? He giveth his beloved sleep. It's one of the signs that peace is reigning in our life, that we can lay down at night with a clear conscience and with hope and our trust in God. And instead of having a sleepless night, we can lay down and we can sleep in a deep sleep. David said, "I laid me down," right in the time of his troubles. It wasn't in a good time in his life. It's in a troubled time. But David said, "I laid me down and I slept." Isn't that something? He said, this is how I can express to you that God is really faithful and trustworthy. In the middle of my trouble, I laid down and got a good night's sleep. Amen. I heard the pretty famous story of a missionary that was traveling, supposedly taking a shortcut through some pretty dense jungle to this tribe to minister to them. And as he got deeper and deeper into this dense jungle, he realized he wasn't making good time. It wasn't such a shortcut. They told him he could be there in a certain amount of time, but he was going and going and going, and he was nowhere near, and darkness came upon him. When darkness came upon him, he pulled out a little backpack he had. He pulled out something that he could lay down on and lay his head down on, and he was laying there in the jungle in the dark. And if you're in the jungle in the dark in Africa, honey, there are spiders. There are snakes. There are, dare I say it, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I mean, you know, how can you just lay down there and not think about what may be crawling around you, what may be stalking you? And you hear maybe a lion roaring in the distance. You hear leaves rustling in a tree. You hear twigs crackling, and he's laying there. And I mean, you know, how do you go to sleep like that with all of these possible threats around you? And he said he was laying there tossing and turning, and sometimes he would hear a noise. He said, I would hold my breath so my breathing would just stop so that they couldn't hear me, but I could hear whatever it was. And he said, and when it's dark and you can't see all of these possible threats to you, he said, I was just laying there, you know, with that, before I even prayed, he said, I just had a conscious desire, Lord, help me. And a scripture came from his heart into the forefront. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he said, suddenly the peace of God, he said, I just put my trust in him. Just totally put my trust in him. If you want me to get to that tribe, you're going to have to keep me through this night. You're going to have to not let anything hurt me or harm me. If I'm in your will and purpose, then you're going to have to take care of me tonight, Lord. I can't handle all of this. So I'm just going to commit myself to you in faith. And Lord, since you're going to be up anyway, I'm going to sleep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When you achieve that place in faith, that's where the real peace comes in, the rest comes in. Every one of us have known sleepless nights. I remember Jimmy Swagger said when he first went on radio before his television ministry came, when he just had the responsibility for his evangelistic ministry, and then he went on to radio. And I remember when he went on radio, because he was on radio, his broadcast came on, Brother Spain came behind him, and then me. When we were on WINQ years ago, Send the Light broadcast was my first radio ministry. And then it was Foundations for Faith. And now it's Let's Talk About Jesus. Can you say amen? And when he first went on radio, he said that the bills suddenly came in. They got on all these stations, and then, you know, it was great. And they were rejoicing about the souls they would reach and how many people they would reach till the bills came in. But then all of a sudden, the bills came in from all of this airtime. And that was just radio, not TV. And radio is expensive, but TV is way beyond that. But when the bills came in, he said he was up walking the floor, praying and walking the floor and trying to figure out how God was going to do this, how he was going to do this, how we're going to meet these obligations. Said he couldn't sleep, he was walking the floor. And he said he looked over at Francis, his wife, who knew the circumstance. She had prayed about it right by the bed before they went to bed. She had given it all to God and went into a peaceful sleep. She was there expressing her faith by peacefully resting in the Lord. Not knowing the answer, but knowing God had the answer and I can trust him. She's laying there asleep. He's walking the floor. Said, I had my Bible. I was confessing and quoting scripture and praying and walking the floor. But mainly, he said, I was worrying. Walking back and forth, worrying about it. Couldn't sleep. Walking back and forth. Said, I would walk back and forth, and I'd hear her, look over at her, laying in that bed, sleeping. Said, I began to get frustrated. And I thought, why doesn't she get up and worry with me? I mean, you know, when you see somebody that's achieved that peace of God, I mean, you know, somebody said one time, if you can keep your head when everybody else is losing theirs, you probably don't understand the situation. Can you say amen? He thought she didn't understand the situation. She did understand the situation. And it has to come down to, does God want you to do this? If He wants you to do it, then you're going to have to trust Him to sustain it. Can you say amen? Like the missionary did. If you want me to get to that tribe, you're going to keep me. You have to deliver me from the mouth of the lion tonight. Can you say amen? You delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. I suppose I could get some rest tonight. Amen. Because you're Almighty God. Amen. We got so many people pursuing power without peace. And you must achieve the peace of God. No matter how much armor you have, spiritual armor, you can't stand. And the armor is so you can stand. Can you say amen? But if you don't have peace, you can't stand. You can't utilize what God has given you to overcome with. Nobody that is in victory hasn't had to reassume that posture to be in it. No one has it consistently. Everybody comes to some point of discouragement that you lose the victory. And that's common. Don't think that's strange. Don't think it's strange, the fiery trial that come to try you. And don't think it's strange that you didn't just bulldoze through it. Can you say amen? Amen. God has no supermen. If you tear open somebody's white shirt, no matter how anointed they are, you will not see a big S on their chest. Can you say amen? Amen. You really won't. Somebody, I heard a preacher preaching one time, he got really wound up, and he said, the Holy Ghost is to the Christian what a phone booth was to Superman. Hallelujah. That's a good saying, but listen to me. He's one called alongside to help. Why is he called alongside to help? Amen? Because we got to have help to overcome. No matter how anointed we are, we got to have help. We're not sufficient to face any of these things in and of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. But though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm not here because I have a strong constitution. I'm not wired that way. Amen. I'm not a strong in myself person. You may think when I'm preaching that, wow, there's a strong man. No, I'm a weak man. That's why this anointing comes on me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You may be too strong for God to support you. Maybe that's your problem. You are too strong and self-sufficient. Hallelujah. But when you come to an end of yourself and you discover the sufficiency of grace and you discover that the everlasting arms are underneath, can you say amen? Hallelujah. When the Bible said you will mount up with eagle's wings, you've got to put that in context of all that eagle stuff in the Old Testament. You know what he said to the nation of Israel? See, everybody thinks when you're going to mount up with wings as an eagle that you're going to get so strong in your faith that trials come along and you just flap them wings of faith and you just rise up above it all and nothing touches you and you just soar around in your spiritual life, people breaking your heart, amen, people around you that betray you but it don't get to you, honey, because you're just flapping along with your great, thou shalt mount up with wings as an eagle. You got to look at all that eagle stuff in the Old Testament. You know what he said to national Israel? Thou shalt be born upon eagle's wings. In other words, your victories are going to be God sustained. It's God carrying you. It's God carrying you. Oh, it's God carrying. Make no mistake about it. When you're born on eagle's wings, what does that mean? You're going to grow those wings of faith and you're going to mount up through your own mighty faith. No, it's your faith in Him and His mighty power and His grace to offer it to you and me that sustains you. You know what? Let me tell you about the eagle. I like to look at the eagle because the eagle builds this huge nest. And the babies are placed in that nest. And there comes a time when he wants to teach those babies to fly. The eagle. This is the eagle now. And so the mama eagle says, you know, it's time for them to get out of the nest. Well, how does God get us into a total dependence on Him and get out of this nest where He's just taking care of everything and we don't understand how much or appreciate how much or appropriate how much we need Him and His grace? She begins, because they don't want to ever leave the nest. How many know none of us ever want to have a trial? Yeah. I've never said, Lord, I'm getting a little too big for my britches, Lord. You know I am. Well, you know, there's big and big. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Lord, I'm just getting too much self-sufficiency here. I'm not near as dependent on you as I was when I was in that deep, dark valley. Standing here on this mountain, I'm not praying like I used to. I can get by with less prayer up here. Amen? I don't need to be as consecrated in my personal life. I don't need to have that self-watch. So I don't need to look in and deal with Bobby and give real scrutiny to my life. You know what I mean? Because I'm up here on this mountaintop right now. I'm feeling pretty good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't need to really get in the Word for me. I'll just get a message for them. Can you say, man, something to really, really get them with on Sunday morning. I'm okay. I'm up on this mountain. So, Lord, I've recognized this about myself. And you know what I need? I need a trial that'll throw me right back on that deep valley. So, Lord, please send me a trial to humble me down. Get me back on my knees. Get me back in your Word. Get me back looking at myself. Lord, send me a trial. Send me a good one, Lord. Don't send me one of them little ones. Send me one of them to break every part of my confidence in myself and make me confident in you and you alone. I've never prayed that prayer in my life. Can you say amen? Have you ever prayed it? I'm glad you admitted that. I don't want to have an altar service right here and right now. Amen? And yet it's God's process. Tribulation, thelpsis, pressure. Tribulation. Only tribulation worketh patience. And patience, because of the pressure, allows us to endure. Can you say amen? Amen. And endurance brings experience. And experience brings hope. Something's happened in your character. You've walked with God through a dark valley. You've come to an end of yourself and found out that He is faithful and His grace is sufficient. And He's uplifted you and sustained you. The next time you hit that circumstance, you don't look to yourself at all. You look to God. Hallelujah. And you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I first saw that scripture, I thought of Pentecostal gifts and anointings, this supernatural power. I can do all things. I can cast out devils, tread on serpents, lay hands on the sick. The context is not power gifts from the Holy Ghost. It's about grace and God's sustaining strength. If it was rendered in its actual setting, it says, I am equal to anything. That means I'm not going to be broken and discouraged by anything that happens in my life. God is going to sustain me. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble we experienced in Asia. What a forthright, candid man Paul was. What an honest man he was. Can you say, man, how that we were pressed? Everybody say tribulation. Tribulation means pressure. Pressure. Say it with me. Pressure. Pressure. And pressure bringing us to a point of anguish because of the pressure. We were pressed beyond measure. Holy Ghost filled people. Tongue talking people. Anointed people. Apostles of Jesus Christ. Writers of the New Testament. Pressed beyond measure. And we despaired of life itself. You can see David saying, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest. If I could get away from my trouble, then I could rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Life can blow up a storm that is hard to weather and hard to bear. Amen? But he went on to say, but as for me, I will trust in the Lord. It's the only place you can truly go. He got to the point, he said, I don't have anybody on earth but you. When it comes right down to it, amen, there's times when David was totally alone, when his own son wanted to kill him. Can you say, amen, his own countrymen wanted to help his son kill him and take his kingdom. That's worse than an enemy without. He had no trouble with the giant without, did he? I mean, he never talked like he had to have, oh, God, if you don't come through, no, you come at us with the sword and spear. I come at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Piece of cake slaying that giant without. But when his son turned against him, it broke his heart. And he had to run from his own son. Amen. Something happened. A giant stood up in him. A giant of discouragement stood up within him. A giant of despair and despondency stood up within him. And he said, I am so desperate for God. He didn't talk that way slaying the giant without. He talked that way dealing with the giant within. He said, I am so desperate for God. I'm like the hart panting after the water brooks. I've got to find him. I've got to have him. So my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. I can't go to church without some expression of the living God there. My soul is not thirsty to watch a well-oiled, well-performed, amen, program on Sunday morning. Amen. I go through deep, dark valleys. I don't know about you. I come to the end of myself. I don't know about you. I'm looking for something, amen, in that service to indicate that the God of Jeshurun, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel is present and he can help me and sustain me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sufficient grace means that because of the grace and mercy of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, can come to you and manifest himself to you. A theological understanding of grace will not sustain you in trouble and be no comfort. God's riches at Christ's expense will not sustain you. Grace has to allow for a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to actually help you in a personal, vital way. Can you say amen? To where you say it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. That this mountain moves, that I move. In fact, in you, I live and move and breathe and have my being. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Apart from you, I can do nothing, but I can do all things. I'm equal to anything through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. Hallelujah. Wow. So David knew these deep valleys, and David knew this great, great, gracious God. David the giant killer. If he just relied on his faith that he had to kill that giant to pull him through despair, he would have never got through it. He would have never made it. He would have give up and give in and give over. But he turned to the Lord in a deeper, more dependent faith. Can you say amen? He just said, in the name of the Lord God of Israel, I come against you. And he let that stone go and a giant fell. But when he's out there in the wilderness and his son is trying to destroy him, not a Philistine giant or a great army from an alien race of people, but his own son. You know what David said got down inside of him and had the potential to just discourage him and push him into despair? He said, you know where the, he said, there's no enemy, no sworn enemy of Israel and of me as the king of Israel that ever breaks my heart. I've got the anointing. God is with us. We can claim the covenant. But he said, you know who got into my heart? Who broke my heart? He said, it was a brother. It was someone I walked up. Come on, the devil knows where to hit you. He knows where to hurt you, really hurt you. It's someone I went up to the temple with. He can hurt me more than Anton LaVey, who pastors the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California. If he writes a paragraph, if he ever visits our website and disses me, I'm not going to lose a minute's sleep over that. Amen. It ain't going to bother me at all. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Ain't no big deal. I don't expect him to love and embrace me. I'll pray for his soul, but I ain't going to let him get to me. I used to park my car by a guy's car, and he was one of these goth guys that wore black all the time, you know, and had this big thing in his ear and all this kind of weird stuff. Well, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, I guess, but I'm just glad my boat don't need that to float. Anyway, just can you say amen? Some things I'm just glad my boat gets along just fine without. But anyway, he's one of these goth guys, and he had I had a bumper sticker on my car or something, you know, to the effect Christ the answer or Jesus or whatever. And you know, then he pulled in beside me at work, and he had a bumper sticker on his car, this goth guy, you know, and it said, Lord, deliver me from your children. In other words, he didn't want none of us Christian types bugging him. And we would be parked side by side, and I'd get out, look at my car and his car, and I'd see him in the hall, you know, when we'd be going back and forth, and I'd say, how you doing, man? And he'd kind of, you know, just diss me and go the other way. I prayed for his soul. I didn't lose no sleep over him not wanting to talk to me. But if I was in church with somebody for years, and I'm in a grocery store, and I saw them see me and take off the other way, that gets to me. That's my brother. It's my sister. That's not an enemy. It said, even if we get messed up, one of us messes up in here. And somebody has to go to them to try to help bring them back and restore them. Don't ever treat them as an enemy. Treat them as a brother that they are. They're a brother in error, but they're not an enemy. We're not enemies in here. Hallelujah. The enemy's out there. This is where we circle the wagons. This is where we pray for one another. This is where we lift one another up. This is where we lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee lest it be turned out of the way. Devil don't need no help discouraging anybody. Can you say amen? But we need a lot of help encouraging one another. And the day we decide we're not going to let anything proceed out of our mouth but that is good to edify. Building up. Wow. Do you realize if God bleeped everything that didn't edify from our conversation all week? They'd have to play piano music behind some of us. They showed the video. It'd be like a silent movie. His mouth is moving, but he's not saying anything. Her mouth is moving, but she's not saying anything. Well, did you hear about what happened over here? Did you hear about what they did over there? No, and I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to hear what God is doing. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God has something good to say to us. I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to sustain you. I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible said, let everything be done. Everything be done to the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Because when we all begin to get built up in faith and victory, this whole service takes on a whole different tone. God can do anything He wants to anybody He wants, anytime He wants. That means He can heal us. He can deliver us. He can sustain us, revive us, refresh us, set us free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We all benefit. So this giant within is more of a threat than the giant without. David was not threatened at all. You can read the story. Nor intimidated. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Listen to his talk that defies the armies of the living God. But when he's out in the desert, his son has broken his heart. His own countrymen have turned against him. They want to dethrone him and kill him and take his kingdom from him. Right? And it began, this whole rebellion started with his own son. He was in a threat greater than that Philistine giant. Discouragement, despair, and despondency gripped his heart. I'll tell you, you can be gifted, you can be called. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, you get discouraged. All that armor is just laid down. Can you say amen? All of that calling is just pushed aside. Amen? And David went through those valleys, but David didn't stay in them. That's why I love the Psalms. Every time I've ever been discouraged, I've got more out of the Psalms than anywhere else. Because there was a man that went through the deep, dark valleys that I was going through. Yeah, listen, if you have a failure in your life, amen, go to the Psalms. There's a man that went through deep, terrible, despicable failure. Amen, but he was restored. And he said, blessed is the man that's never had a problem. No, he don't know how to appreciate forgiveness. But blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Amen. He said, don't be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned with the bit and bridle lest he turn around and rend you. He said, when I held it in, when I tried to not deal with it before God openly and honestly, amen, when I refused to repent and recognize my need to repent, he said, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. You can have wealth, fame, fortune, people applauding everything that you do, but without that peace of God that floods your soul, you're literally, there's no rest. David said, I laid me down and slept. Because he kept his promise. Because he is faithful. Because I could trust him with it all. Hallelujah. And he said, I awoke. How about that? All my enemies wanted to sneak up on me and kill me, but God didn't let them. And God sustained me. So he prayed this prayer unto God in the Psalms. When my heart is overwhelmed within me. And this is a prayer to God, not to a brother or sister. Amen. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they may not be there. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. When my heart is overwhelmed, not if, but when it happens, life will see that there will be times like that. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord, I told you there was a rock in this thing. Can you say amen? Lead me to that place. Lead me to that God that is unshakable in His mercy, unshakable in His faithfulness. Lead me to that solid rock that is higher than me. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a hiding place for my enemies. And he would cry unto God and say, hide me in your pavilion. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Don't let my enemies prevail over me. Under the anointing, enemies without are a piece of cake, not by the power, but by my spirit. But the enemy within is not dealt with according to how anointed you are. Hello? The enemy within is only dealt with when you put your trust. As David said, my times are in your hands. Whether I live, whether I die, it's all in your hands. How I live and when I die, it's all in your hands. I'm completely surrendered to you. Whom have I in heaven but you? And whom have I on earth but you? And whither shall I go from thy spirit? He was standing when he wrote that psalm looking out over the Mediterranean Sea. And he said, if I take the wings of a dove and I fly out to the uttermost part to that horizon, you're there. And he said, if I make my bed in hell, speaking of the grave, that word for grave, he said, even there, thy hand will sustain me. Wow. He said, there's nowhere I can go that you're not. There's no circumstance I'm in that you're not in it with me. I'm never separated from you. There's no place I could go without you being there to help me. Hallelujah. What a revelation and what rest David found. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lay down. When one sheep, when it was time for the sheep to come in and lay down, if one sheep was agitated and wouldn't lay down for whatever reason, it agitated all the other sheep. And they begin to say, well, something must be wrong. I mean, Sister Hoopendicker is worried silly, so something's bad wrong. The shepherd would literally go out, speak calmly and comfortably to that sheep. Putting his hand on their head and pressing down. To get that sheep to realize the shepherd's right here. The shepherd has been faithful. He ain't let no wolf hurt you, no lion hurt you. He's not let anything get to you down through all these years. And the shepherd is right here, right now. That shepherd would go to that sheep. Isn't it good to know when you're in trouble? All these people on the mountaintop and you're down in that valley feeling bad because you don't have great faith. That's where he's headed. You didn't hear me. He's the good shepherd. What does he do with the 99 that are safe in the fold when there's one cast sheep out there laying on his back kicking? And he goes out and searches till he finds it. That means the person in there shouting victory and amen is not the object of his great concern because you're okay this morning. Can you say amen? It's that person that can't shout victory. It's in that deep valley. That's where he heads. That's where the Holy Ghost points to. Praise God. Hallelujah. He leaves the 99, not forsaking them, but leaving them in the safety of the fold. And if there's one out there somewhere, he says, I'm coming after that one. That's why if you're away from God today, you're going to think I'm reading your mail. You're actually going to think I'm looking at you while I'm preaching, and I'm trying real hard not to look at you. So, hallelujah. Praise God, because I don't want you to feel any sense of pressure. This is not by might. It's not by power. This is wrought by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've been through enough valleys to appreciate that lily in the valley. I've been through some dark times in my life. I've been through places where my faith was shaken, but His faithfulness was not. I know something about that rock. The Bible said a man shall become as the shadow of a rock in a dry and thirsty land. Did you know if you're out in the desert, it would be better to find a rock than to find a shade tree? Because the rock is denser than the shade tree is. Can you say amen? It's blotting out all of the sun's rays. You get where the shadow of that rock is, and it's going to be cool in the middle of the desert. Can you say amen? And a man shall be as the shadow of a rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So great is His faithfulness. Great is His graciousness. In the world of shepherds and sheep, the reason the sheep didn't make it back most of the time was because they were cast. C-A-S-T. And a cast sheep is a sheep, for whatever reason, has fallen on its back. In the time that their wool was just before being shorn, it was so heavy. If a sheep gets off its feet, it lays on its back and kicks in panic. It cannot right itself without help. How many know that He's a shepherd? We're called the sheep of His pasture, the people of His hand. Amen? Sheep can't, listen, they're lone wolves. Wolves do better in a pack. But a lone wolf, if he's very cagey, he can survive that. Amen? There are other animals that can survive on their own, alone. There are horses, mustangs, wild mustangs. Nobody's feeding them, caring for them. They're surviving now. Amen? But I'll tell you what don't survive out there. Ever alone. I don't care how strong they think they are. Sheep can't. Sheep are absolute 100% dependent on a shepherd. A lone sheep, no way. They got enemies. A wolf and a lone sheep. Who's going to win? I'm not talking about the cartoon now. I'm talking about real life. Can you say amen? I've seen the cartoon thing about the sheepdog, you know, and the, yeah. But in real life, a bear and a sheep. David wasn't there to slay that bear, that sheep. Those sheep are gone. I slayed the lion. A lion and a sheep? Are you kidding me? No contest. Apart from me, we're vulnerable. Out from under His covering, we have no defense. Can you say amen? Well, how could He send us as sheep among wolves? Amen? Because of His covering. His covering. That shepherd is watching. That sheep won't lay down because of nervous anxiety. That shepherd goes out and speaks comfortably to that sheep while laying his hand directly on their head and pushing down till that sheep says, the shepherd's here. The shepherd's here. The shepherd's here. The shepherd's right here with me. The shepherd is right here with me. The shepherd is right here with me. My worry, if I saw the wolf coming, I couldn't do a thing about it but scream and holler. But the shepherd is right here. And his rod and his staff comfort me. Shepherd's rod wasn't this big, tall thing. You know, we think of the staff as having the hook on it and the rod is another big thing like Moses used, like a rod. That's not what the shepherd's rod was. This is not the shepherd's rod. This is not what it was. The shepherd's rod was like a billy club. It was about this long. He carried it in his belt. It's about this long. He carried it in his belt. And if a wolf sniffing around got near, he'd pull that thing out and he'd sling it and hit him dead between the eyes. And suddenly, that wolf realizes. And then he holds that other staff up. But the shepherd's rod was a weapon against any kind of threat to the sheep. Can you say, man? Thy rod, knowing my shepherd is defending me, and knowing that he's strong and that he's committed to the death to my defense. The hireling flees when the wolf comes. The good shepherd said they're going to have to go through me to get to you. He'll lay down his life for the sheep. Can you say, man? I said a good shepherd says they're going to have to go through me to get to you. You're not defending yourself. Your shield of faith is trusting your shepherd God. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Listen, if your shield of faith is just your faith going to do all the defending, your faith in God's word even, you better get your faith in your shepherd God. Because when your faith wavered, the fiery darts are going to find their target. But if God is your defense, David said, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my buckler. The shield of faith is when you recognize and understand that God is standing between you and the enemy and you can trust him. Hallelujah. And stand your ground. There's a part of us, there's a pride part of us that you've got to watch and keep under surveillance. You'd like to think that your great faith has given you victory. So that your faith gets the attention instead of your God. Honey, if you've got great faith at all, it's got to be in God, not in your faith or your ability to believe. Two times in the New Testament, and two times only, did Jesus use the term, great is thy faith. He didn't use it with Paul, and he didn't use it with Peter or John or James or any of the disciples. How many believe God ought to qualify what great faith is? Instead of, I've read all kinds of books and seen all kinds of people grow like roosters. Amen. But Jesus says what great faith is. One time when he said it, there was a man came to him that was a centurion. He's got a servant that he loves like a son, but his servant is dying. He comes to Jesus. He can't claim any merit, any strength, any covenant, anything. He just comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got a servant that I love like a son and he's dying. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, look at the humble dependency. Everybody say humble dependency. There's no pride in this, honey. No self-sufficiency in this. God loves it that way. Designed it that way. Are you with me today? He said, I'm not even worthy that you could come under my roof. Holy man like you. I'm a centurion. I've got 100 men under me. You don't have to come under my roof. All you have to do, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority. And because he was under authority, he had authority. He was under Caesar's, Rome's authority. Then he had authority over 100 men. That's what centurion means. Century, 100. He had 100 men under him. Amen? He said, I tell them to go, they go. I tell them to come, they come. And I see that in you. But it's not Rome's authority you're under. And it's not just 100 men. It's angels. Can you say amen? All you have to do is speak the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a man under authority too. Because you always say, listen, why did Jesus talk? Did he talk like somebody crowing like a rooster? He said, no, the works that you see are not my works, but what I see my Father do. And the words are not my words, but what I hear my Father say. I'm a man under authority. But because he was under authority, God has given him a name that's above every name that's named in heaven and earth and things beneath the earth. Can you say amen? And all power was given to him over heaven and earth. Because he was obedient and humbled himself. Look at the humble dependence. Everybody say humble dependency. Jesus turned to that man and said, great is your faith. I have not found faith like this, lo, not in all of Israel. Not even among all the covenant people have I found faith like this. Go that way. It's done. And it was done. Well, that's a lot different. The way I've been preached faith is, you know, that kind of faith is kind of that wavering faith, that little old bitty faith, that little old, you know, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, be thou removed. dependence on the faith in God. Trust wholly on the Lord. Amen. His sufficient grace, His strength. We get a little bit of touch of blessing. We think we got something. We think we can flap them eagle wings. You know what the mama eagle does? She puts stuff in the nest to make it so. She starts bringing briars and prickly things up there and sticking it down under them eagles. And they say, I don't want to really get out of here. This is nice. All this down and three meals a day. All I got to do is, they stuff stuff in me. And then I sleep on this downy thing. And so she quits bringing the food. They're hungry, but they still won't get out. So she starts building these prickly things in there. This is true. Prickly things in there. Trials come. Stick us. We can't stay where we are. I just want to stay right where I am. Lord, I'm so happy right where I am. I talk in tongues every now and then. Well, I delivered a message last week. Interpreted one the week before. Lord, I love it here. Amen. Everybody respects me spiritually. I am so satisfied right where I am. And all of a sudden, trials come out of nowhere. And we're wondering, why is the Lord letting this happen? I am so comfortable. I am so happy. Amen. I am well. And here they come. Here they come. And he's saying, well, you got to get out of that nest. You got to. And after a while, that eagle gets out and looks down and says, oh, Lord, have mercy. Can't go back and can't go on. Amen. What, dear Lord, what are you doing now? Look how far it is down. Amen. And then the mama eagle comes and nudges them. She throws them off of that. She just yanks them right out and throws them out into the air. I mean, they build their nest high so there's room for them to fall. And they start falling. And then you know what she does before they hit the ground? You know what she does before they hit the ground? She swoops down underneath, lets them land on her back, takes them up. Whoa! We bad, we bad. We flying now. Can you? And you know what happens when she gets way, way up there? She throws them off again. Ah! Thou to national Israel, thou shalt be born on eagle's wings. For underneath are the everlasting arms. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the covert of thy wings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. I really don't believe mounting up with wings as an eagle means that you grow the wings strong enough to always rise above your storms. I really believe that he always catches you when you're falling, and he bears you up. You know why I believe that? Because I've been trying to grow them for over 35 years in ministry, and I ain't grown them yet. You know that saying, hey man, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I can't run with the big dogs if the big dogs are doing it in their strength. I'm a little dog and always will be. But I'm not going to stay on the porch neither. Can you say amen? Because I'm not competing, comparing with the big dogs. I don't need to be a big dog. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When you got God as your rock, God is your fortress, God is your shield, God is your buckler, you don't have to be a big dog. Can you say amen? You don't even have to have big faith because you got a big God. You just have to have faith in Him. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. I've not found faith like this in all of Israel. What did it look like? Looked to me like humble dependency. I'm not even worthy. But you got the authority, and all you have to do is use it. He said, great is your faith. There's a woman that come to the Lord. You'd think great faith would be qualified like this when this woman came. Lord, I know you are who you say you are, and my faith is in you, and I confess your word, and I'm standing on the name of Jesus. I confess that my daughter's healed. Oh, hallelujah, I got great faith, and you're going to honor it. No. How did she come? How did she? It's the only time he used the word great faith. Oh, there's all kinds of definitions of great faith out there and so-called demonstrations of it. But how did Jesus qualify? I believe he ought to be the final authority on great faith. How about it, church? How many believe Jesus ought to be the final authority? He used the term twice, and I've told you one occasion. There's a woman, she's not part of the covenant. She's not a Jew. Everyone who wasn't outside the covenant were considered outcasts and dogs. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, my daughter's laying home vexed of a devil. You've got the authority. You've got the power. Would you deliver her?" He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." She said something else in the dialogue another time. He said it again. He resisted and rejected her right to claim covenant promises. "This is children's bread. You're not one of the covenant people. It's not requisite to..." And she worshiped him. She worshiped him. Everybody say humble dependence. I want you to see this today. Humble dependence. She worshiped him. What did she say to him? She said, "It's true, Lord. You're right. I'm not a covenant woman. I'm not a daughter of Abraham. But my child is in desperate need, and I know you're good, gracious Lord. And I'll even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Wow, he stops. "Woman, great is your faith." His definition of great faith is different than what's going around today. And the devil is leveraging that against us, because if you're not up there on that mountaintop with them big, strong wings, he's telling you God isn't going to answer your prayer and God isn't going to help you. God is telling you when you get to the point that you none of your strength, not even faith in your faith, but faith in your God becomes your strength and your faith. That's when I'm going to come and bear you up with eagle's wings. Can you say, thou shalt be what? Born on eagle's wings. He, make no mistake about it, he carried Israel. Every time they were in victory, he was carrying them. Can you say amen? Because it wasn't might nor power. It was by his spirit that the mountains were moved. Can you say amen? That the armies were vanquished. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They said, "Lord, increase our faith." He said, "You don't need any more. You need to use what you got in the right way." "Lord, increase our faith." He said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed and you knew how to use it," hallelujah, "you'd say to that mountain, be thou removed. If you doubt not in your heart that what you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say." How can you not doubt? Is it the power of your words or is it the power of your God? Amen. Listen, if God sent me here to do a work, I've got faith he's going to sustain us. I can speak to my mountains because he sent me. Amen. He is the one sustaining this thing. It's not my faith sustaining anything. It's my God sustaining everything. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God isn't for us, then we need to find out what he is for and get involved in it. But if God is for us, we're going to make it in spite of everything that goes haywire, everything that goes wrong, every mountain of opposition and circumstance. We can tell that mountain, you just might as well to move on. God has ordained this. God is in this. It's not our faith that moves the mountain. It's our God that moves the mountain. It's our shepherd that gives us rest. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lay down in green pasture. Not the fact that I can be so focused, so perfectly faith-driven that nothing ever bothers me. No, skeeters bother. It would only take a gnat. If there's one mosquito in heaven, it won't be heaven. Amen? One mosquito would ruin heaven. I'm sorry, skeeters don't go. Did you know our president swatted a fly and animal rights people went nutsoid? I'm just glad he had enough dexterity to get one up. There have been presidents I don't think could ever catch a fly like he. He caught that fly, brother. Go, Obama. Go, Obama. He caught that fly. I just can't see George W. catching it, nor Reagan, but he caught the fly. I have to give him that. He's a younger man. I don't think I could catch the fly anymore. I used to be good at catching. I got him. Showed my wife I got him before I squeezed him. When you see I got him, see I got him. two times. I have more than mosquitoes and gnats. I have memories. I have things that come back up and loom in my life. Things I thought was long buried, something resurrects it and it's back in. Something I thought was long dealt with and something brings it back into focus. I have to process that again and forgive again and forget again. Can you say, man, put it in the back room and lock it up and throw away the key? Amen. I fight real battles with discouragement. And I win. Because I look to Him with every ounce of my being. I come to Him in humble dependency. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Hello? So if you want to get in church where you can build your faith and grow your big wings so you can come soaring in and let us know how great you are, you picked the wrong one. I'm sure there's one that accommodates you. They've got all these eagle saints. They just fly over everything. Amen. I've seen preachers do that and preach that until the offerings went down. Suddenly a major crisis arose. The wings folded down. They became earthbound. They had to come in for a landing. Amen. Amen. And then the sermon took another tone, like, if you don't help us, we can't stay on the air. And I thought, wait a minute, you were on the mountain last week saying, all things are impossible, all things are possible with God, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. I don't have problems, all I have is solutions. And suddenly, now we're the solution. And if we don't come through, all is lost. God uses us, and he uses people to meet needs, but God, the faith has to be in God. In fact, the Bible said, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, how weak a creature he is. Amen? So quit looking to flesh and blood. Look to the God of Jeshurun, Israel. Hallelujah. That rides upon the flood, that bears up Israel on eagle's wings. I really believe mounting up wings as an eagle is not us becoming so spiritually strong, but becoming absolutely dependent so that he bears us up. I really don't think he wants to teach us to fly. I think he wants to teach us to depend on him exclusively. Young eagles, are one day they learn to use their own wings. Eagle saints never trust their own wings. One that's right and a whole bunch of strange looks. Your faith wings are going to get that strong, huh? That nothing can make them fold. Nothing in your life will ever come to make them fold down. I'd rather trust in his wings. We criticize Simon Peter. I want to close with this. Doubting Thomas. We label these people. God made Peter a rock. Not the rock, but the little rock. The stone of stability rather than this wavering, vacillating person he was. They're in a storm and they're afraid. They're in the sea and there's a threat that the boat is going to be swamped. Jesus has went up to pray and he said, I'll meet you on the other side. They're looking out through the storm and they see what they initially thought was an apparition. There is a man in the middle of this terrible storm. He's calmly, serenely walking on the waters. And they look and strain to see and they said, this is no apparition. That man is real. And he's not only real, it's Jesus. How can we be sure? Peter, Lord, if that's you, impetuous Peter, bid me come to you. You're never going to outfaith God. Can you say amen? So Jesus says, come. And Peter, impetuous again, I mean, we're criticizing him for sinking. Man, nobody else even got out of the boat. Can you say amen? Peter jumps out into the water and he's sustained. And he starts walking. Now, here's where we go with this, generally. This is where we go with this. He spoke the word. He stepped out on the word. The word sustained him. And our faith should be so solid in the word. And it should be. Absolutely. I agree with it 100%. That we never sink, no matter what kind of storm comes around us. That all we see is to keep our eye on Jesus and stand on the word of God and you don't sink. Well, here's the deal. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you could do that consistently without ever needing mercy or grace, after a while, you'd be talking about what your faith got done. It's human nature. It's in us to become independent from God after a while. Great preachers have become so comfortable and confident in their anointing. They lost their self-watch. Everybody else needed it, but they didn't. And they're the ones that fell. Can you say amen? Great ministers, great leaders of the faith that became flawed and failed. Listen carefully to this. The Bible said as Peter was walking along on the water toward Jesus, the storm picked up. And when he saw that the storm was exceedingly strong, he began to sink. Well, there you are. There you are. What do you do then? When you built your faith to that great level and suddenly there's a storm so strong that it distracts you in spite of everything you're trying to do. What do you do then? Well, here's what is being said. Well, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. I'm so glad for the Jesus that was there when Peter started sinking. I love that Jesus. That's the one I've got such confidence in because I don't have to stand so strong to be sustained. Even if I start to sink, all is not lost. Even if my faith shakes, all is not lost. Hallelujah. Even if I'm discouraged, all is not lost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm born on eagle's wings. I may be screaming while I'm falling, praise God. But underneath, before I hit the ground and splatter, are the everlasting arms. And I've been picked up enough to know who's carrying me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And my victory is in my knowledge that He is so faithful. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. Oh, yeah. Let me walk close to Thee. Somebody say, let me walk close to Thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're afraid to say I'm weak anymore. Afraid we'll invite demons and devils. No, I am weak. Amen. I'll always be weak. But when I am weak, then am I made strong because I trust in a God who will help me. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. I can do all things through this Christ who strengthens me. Listen to how His faith works. Everybody say humble dependency. Here it is again. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Great is thy faith. Go thy way. It's done. Peter's sinking. Now, what does he say? What does he say? I stand upon the word of God. I confess the word of God. Thus saith the Lord, when you go through the waters, and up he comes out of the water. Hallelujah. Now he walking with Jesus. We bad. We bad. We stepping now. No, no. What was his prayer? Lord, save me! And the Bible said, and immediately, Jesus didn't say, you shouldn't have gone out of that boat, son, if you could, come on, you should, hey, you should have stayed in the boat. Big show off, see what you get, you big show off. Can you say, man, you big show off, always showing out your great faith now, look at you now. You ain't so bad now, are you? No, that's not what Jesus said. Not my Jesus. Not my Adonai. Can you say amen? Immediately, he reached down, took him by the hand. Now you got some strength. Now you're talking strength. Now you're talking power. Now you're talking faith. I don't believe Jesus intended for him to walk the water without his hand. Oh, no, I don't. I believe it was right when he sunk and Jesus picked him up. I believe that's when Peter got it right. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Listen, listen. There are storms that are designed by the devil to distract you, no matter how committed you are. And that's when you need, amen, to look to Jesus. Amen. Not your faith, but your Lord. And that is faith. Can you say amen? Your Lord. My faith can shake as long as I know that He's faithful. I'm going to come through that. My wavering faith is going to be solidified, crystallized in the faithfulness of my God. I don't have to sprout eagle wings. All I have to do is ride the eagle. Hallelujah. Is Israel born on eagle wing or do they grow up? My Bible said they're born on eagle's wings. That means God sustaining Israel. God sustaining Israel right now. Did you know they were going to call that little piece of terra firma over in the Holy Land as we close? That little piece of land no bigger than New Jersey is the centerpiece of all Bible prophecy. All of it. Right now, there are nations committed to the destruction of that little piece of land. Most disputed piece of land on planet Earth for 2,000 years. Of who owns it and who gets to have it. And it's ongoing. That land, right now, there are a lot of people backing off from identifying or allying with that little group of people over there in Israel. America waffles many times on their commitment. Billy Graham went to one of our presidents years ago and says, whatever you do, if you want to keep America blessed, don't ever, ever. It don't mean you agree with their politics all the time. Don't mean they're right. Don't mean we are either. It does mean that they are covenant people and God has a covenant promise prophetically to put them back in the land to sustain them. Amen. And bless them that bless them and curse them that curse them. Amen. Listen to me carefully, very carefully. The time is coming when everybody's going to back off because of all the trouble it's caused by allying with them and identifying with them. Everybody that has been their shield. Do you know what they call Desert Storm? Desert Shield. Who were we shielding? We were shielding the nation of Israel. Scud missiles were being fired over there, and the United States went over in the Gulf War, and because we were defending Israel and not our oil interests or something else, but Israel, can you say, man, did you know what happened? Amen. That army that they said it would be the war to end all wars. He said, if you come over here, you're going to have blood on. Listen, they laid down their arms. They gave up in droves. They ran to our troops to surrender. Can you say, man, that was one of the quickest, most victorious wars. Oh, Schwarzkopf, he said, let's go get Sodom right now. Amen. We something was behind that. Amen. It was a complete rout. It was a desert shield. But there's a day coming when it's not going to be politically advantageous to align with that little nation where all the trouble's erupting in the Middle East. And an allied army with Russia leading it. It's going to come from the north, Arab states joining when they see a city without walls, indefensible. And they think we'll make a quick end to this. And the Bible said God is going to rise up. Can you say amen? God is going to rise up. And you know what it said God's going to do? You want to know what God's going to do? To show you how they're born on eagle's wings and we're involved in that kind of faith. Listen to this. The Bible said He's going to put a hook in their jaw. Just like you set it in a big tarpon down here. Amen. God, instead of trying to tell them, now don't come down here. Y'all stay out of here now. Come on now. Go on back home where y'all belong. No, He's going to put a hook in their jaw. And say, if you're determined to destroy my people, violate my covenant, and not recognize me as the Lord God of the universe. Amen. Not just a few Jews over here in Israel. This is not a man-made God. This is the God who made man. There's a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if you want to defy me, it's happened before. It happened down in Egypt. When He said, let my people go. And the man said, I'm not going to do it. Who is your God that I should obey Him? The Bible said God hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. And what was he literally saying? If you won't let my people go, I want you to know I didn't send Moses down to beg you. I sent him down to tell you that I am sent you. I'm not begging you. I'm telling you. Let them go. And since you say you're not going to let them go, and who is their God, I'm going to take them from you. So you'll know there's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? From that point, he couldn't do anything but try to hold them till God amen, broke his spirit and broke the back of Egypt. Can you say amen? The Bible said a day is coming. Everybody's going to back off of Israel. They're going to think they're coming up against an indefensible city, an unwalled city. Can you say amen? Without their allies, they're vulnerable. Amen. God is going to step in and say, America is not your help. Amen. England is not your help. I am the one that keepeth Israel. I never slumber in sleep. Amen. They're going to meet the God of Israel on those hillsides. They're not going to meet, amen, Desert Shield anymore, Desert Storm. They're going to meet the God who made the desert. Can you say amen? Who banned the sea and the mountains. Amen. And he said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw. Once again, amen, there's all these gods in the world, but there's a true and living God. And when you come up against my people, you're going to see who the real God is. Can you say amen? I'm going to put a hook in their jaw, and I'm going to draw them into this battlefield. Amen. I want the world to know I am the true and the living God.
Hallelujah.
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 Our faith needs to be in Him. Humble dependency is what he qualified as great faith. He picks up Peter, lifts him up. Now faith has achieved faith's goal. Peter knew my faith is not what is sustaining me. My God is sustaining me. So my faith is working this way in his mercy, his grace, and his strength. When I am weak and sinking, come on. Your ability to stand in that storm without sinking, that puts it all on you. Your ability to trust God no matter what happens, puts it all on Him. And every time you walk, did they walk the water back to the boat? Sure they did. But he knew while he was walking that water that he wasn't just walking the Word, showing out his great faith. He was sustained by the grace and the mercy of his God. And he said, then's when you're strong, when you're weak. Then am I made? So what's the object of faith? To get you weak enough to depend totally on Him. Because then is the true time to strengthen your life. And we got so many people out here trying to show you how the heights they can, all they can, they can't show you the supernatural. They can show you watches, rings, bank accounts, cars, castle-like compounds, but they can't show you demons cast out. And the sick healed, and the lost coming to Christ because their lives are being changed. Because all of this other can be achieved in the natural if enough people back you up. Did you know if 100,000 people send me $1, if I had a constituency of 100,000 and they all sent me $1, did you know I could buy me a new pickup truck? And talk about my great faith while I drive it. Honey, if enough of you send me $1 because I sent you a letter, it ain't my great faith. Huh? It's not hard to get $100,000 from 100,000 people. What if they all sent me $10? Is that a million? You mean if just 100,000 people that I could reach would just slip a $10 bill in there for me? That I would be a millionaire that quick, 3 days from the time the letters were stamped? Think about it. And I could be telling you, whoa, look what God has done for me. Hey, anybody that can get 100,000 people to put $10 in an envelope can become a millionaire. Anybody, if they can get them to turn loose of it. I got in my mail. I got to quit, but you know how I am. I got in a mail one time. I got this little bag. It's a little bag like you used to put marbles in. Had a twist tie top. Or used to put tobacco in. Not wacky tobacco. Just regular tobacco. He who laughs loudest knows what wacky tobacco is. Doug, I'm so glad you got saved. When you did. But I got this little bag. This little pouchy thing. And I got a letter in the mail, a prominent church here in town, and I got the letter in the mail. People put me on the address, so I got the letter, and I'm reading the letter. And it said, Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And that blood guiltiness had fallen on all mankind. That's the reason no one was prospering. We all had debts, and we couldn't get ahead. So what we need to do is make restitution to God for the 30 pieces of silver that Judas sold him out with and brought the curse on all of us. So if we would put either $30 in actual money in the bag or a check for $30 in the bag, you know, then as long as we get the $30 in the bag and send it back, they're going to pray that the curse be lifted from us that Judas put on us when he sold Jesus out. And you know, they had figured out that we all had financial problems. Everybody say, well, duh. I mean, you know, it's not a revelation. I mean, we're living in inflation and economic. So when this thing come, you know, so they wanted somebody to put $30 in there and send it, and that's going to. Then I got this other letter. It's how far people go. You know, we're trying to get these wings and call it faith and all this stuff. And then there's this. I got a letter from another prominent pastor in town, and the letter said. It said, you know, above us in the atmosphere, there are powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world in the atmosphere. Have you been praying prayers that hadn't got answered, and you still have trouble in your family and trouble on your job and troubles around you? Well, in this world you shall have. Well, everybody say, well, duh. I mean, you know what I mean? So anyway, so I get this letter. Well, the problem is, Brother Taylor, our prayers that are offered, all these powers and principalities, there you go, go. They're knocking them right back down to earth. Can't get them to God. Can't get God to do a thing in the world. This guy is going to rent an airplane and a pilot. He's going to take all the prayer requests, going to throw them in that airplane. This is the letter. I kid you not. They're going to fly up. This prominent church, I had ministered there, but I'd been there before. They're going to fly up above without oxygen tanks or anything. They're going to get above the powers and principalities. With all of our prayer requests. I mean, it really gets silly, doesn't it? And people are sending it in. The guy's driving a new car. What can I tell you? Anyway, there, of course, you got to send an offering with it because you've got to buy gas for the plane, car, the pilot. The pastor needs a new car and mama needs new shoes. Can you say amen? They don't put that in there, but there's got to be a clause somewhere. But anyway, so that you get up above all of that. And when you get up above all the powers and principalities, we're going to pray up there. And the devil ain't going to be able to hinder it. And all these prayers going to shoosh right into God's presence. And God's going to start answering them. You're going to get blessed every way you turn because we took them prayers above him. Hallelujah. We're going above his old horny head. Amen. Devil got horns. You didn't know that, did you? And a tail. Pitchfork too. I heard a so-called true story way back in the country in my daddy's day that on Halloween, a bunch of boys got together. Halloween night fell on church night, and all them people were in church, and this guy ordered one of them red suit jumpsuits from some costume place out in Chicago or somewhere. It's back in the day, way back when nobody ever seen anybody wearing them red jumpsuits. See people at Halloween now, don't bother you. Back then, see somebody in that. Amen. Particularly in church, preacher preaching on something about the devil anyway, probably back then. Amen. Give people a thrill. But anyway, so anyway, these boys got together, and one of them had the whole outfit, pitchfork, horns, tail, the whole red pajamas looking thing, you know. And he come bursting in the side door, said, I'm the devil, and I've come to take you all to hell. Said, everybody run out of the church. Everybody, preacher and everybody else just took off out of the building. Except one woman. Stood there and walked straight up to him, looked him in the eye, and said, please, Mr. Devil, don't take me. You know I've been on your side all along. I can actually see that happening. I can visualize that. Everybody's here, not the real deal sometimes, except for you folks. Great faith is expressed constantly in humble dependency. Why do you allow this devil to interrupt things, to aggravate things? Because it weakens you, Paul. Keeps you dependent on me, exclusive. He said, then I understand why that I can't snap my finger with my great faith and make every problem go away. Why that I must trust in your grace that is sufficient for me. Because it's not when Peter's walking the water that he's strong. It's when he sinks, cries out in humble dependency, Jesus picks him up, and together they walk back to the boat. When they're walking arm in arm, that's great faith. That's faith that can't fail. That faith can't fail. Because it's not faith in his faith. It's faith in the faithfulness of his master. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? If you got faith in your faith, what happens when your faith wavers? And if you've got so much pride, you say it'll never waver. That very pride is eaten away at true faith. That self-sufficiency and that self-confidence, instead of confidence in the Lord, is eroding true faith. True faith is when you know in your heart of hearts, amen, whatever I am by the grace of God. Can you say amen? Now unto him, Paul said, who is able to keep me from falling. Hallelujah. That's where my faith is. And thank God all these years, he has kept me from falling. Because I am born on eagle's wings. Again and again and again. Hallelujah. Thou shalt mount up with wings as an eagle. Because he lifts us up. He's my glory and the lifter of my head. We didn't read this, but it's all in there. Would you stand? Praise God. Brother, would you come? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me the oil of your spirit. Flow over me. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me today. Is there anyone here today that wants to walk forward like they did at the funeral and say, I want to reaffirm my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to put my trust back in his faithfulness. Is there anyone in here that wants to do that? You feel God leading you to do that before we go on in this service today. By the way, the altars are open. There's no close to this. You could come at any time. We're not counting down 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10. The Lord moves on your heart. You feel free to come. How many people in this room need humble dependency in your life so that you can be sustained? It's a faith that won't fail because it's based on his faithfulness. Can you say amen? And you can be assured that you're going to come through it somehow, some way. I'm not saying your heart won't be broken ever. I'm not saying you won't ever be discouraged. I'm not saying you won't ever weep for a night. I'm saying that joy will come in the morning. You know why joy will come in the morning? Because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to his own character of mercy and love. That's why every day is a new day, and we can get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's grace for this day. There's mercy for this very day. How many want that fresh anointing, that refreshing from God today? How many need it to heal the brokenness in our lives? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise in this one song.